T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Miami Hurricanes 31-9 for the season, and a midweek game this week against Stetson, and then Georgia Tech on the road to Georgia Tech. Time now to talk with the skipper, Gino Demare. The Canes coming off a weekend series where they took 2 out of 3 against Pittsburgh, an exciting 2-1 win on Friday, and then a convincing 17-2 win on Saturday. Things didn't go so well on Sunday, 9-4. But you took 2 out of 3, Gino, against Pittsburgh, another series win inside the ACC, where you still have a very solid lead inside the league.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, we've played well up to this point, and we put ourselves in a good position. And so we basically, you know, we're coming down the home stretch. We got 3 weekend series in the ACC, and then, of course, 1 with exam weekend. But and they're all tough opponents. They're all very highly ranked RPI teams, with Georgia Tech, and then, of course, down the road, FSU on the road, and Notre Dame at home. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we got to continue to do what we've been doing all year long, playing good team baseball, and hopefully we can put ourselves in a good position going into the ACC tournament to hopefully host.
People might not be familiar with Pittsburgh. When you think about Pittsburgh baseball, you don't think about college baseball. They had an older team that came in here. You did take 2 out of 3, but I guess my point would be this. Inside the ACC this year, there's been great baseball played, and the experts say 10, maybe 11 teams will go to the postseason. So you know that every weekend, whether it's Pittsburgh or Duke or anybody else, you're going to get a great challenge.
We are. It's a deep conference. It might be the deepest in the country, and some would say. And you're right. I think there's some so-called experts out there that we might have 10 in the tournament. But we want to get ahead of ourselves. There's still a lot of baseball to be played. And, again, told our players, we've put ourselves in a good position, but by no means do we need to shut it down. We got to still continue to get better and play the game the way we need to play it as a team, and improve on all the things that we need to improve on. So, like you said, it's a tough conference. We got tough games coming up. We still have some midweek games too as well. And, you know, we just want to put ourselves in a good position where at the end of the season, if we're in the top 8, it should hopefully solidify us hosting a regional and the opportunity to host a super regional.
This has to be the toughest time of the year, right? You've played 40 baseball games. You're coming down the stretch. Maybe some of the pressure starts them out, but you've played a lot of games, and now you don't have a lot of time to practice either. So do you find this being a point of the year where you got to kind of push the players a little bit more?
Well, you got to be careful. It's a two-way street there. First of all, we got exams coming up, so this is our last week of school here that we're in, and then we got finals the following week, which is why we play out of conference, and we have no midweek games that week. But, you know, you got to be careful, and that's part of being a coach that's paying attention, whether it's our, you know, the hitters, really. You got to make sure you're watching them and you're not hitting too much. You want to keep guys fresh. It's all about the bat, you know, going through the zone and having the bat speed, and you don't want to have bats that are slow and dragging. And if you're doing too much, where you're swinging too much or even practicing too much, you want to have the guys' legs under them too, and fresh legs. And so it's something that we do look at. The exam week, they always get a Monday off throughout the year. That's an NCAA rule. But on exam week, the 2 weeks of exam that we take, we also give them Tuesday off. So we give them Monday and Tuesday off. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't do anything. Pitchers still got to play catch, or if they got to throw, or bullpens, or whatever that may be. And some guys will maybe get out and run a little bit, and the position players will throw a little bit, and maybe some light BP. But we will not have an official practice with the coaches out there. So again, it's something that we plan this before the season starts. This is something you plan. These are part of our days off by the NCAA rule. You have to have a certain amount of days off. So we use these two Tuesdays as days off coming up, the next two Tuesdays, that is, to be fresh and, of course, do well in school and be ready for their exams.
In the Pittsburgh series, the first two games, you really got outstanding pitching. Both Friday and Saturday, I don't know. I felt like there were a million strikeouts against Pittsburgh. I think it was 18 on Friday night, 19 strikeouts on Friday night. So a ton of strikeouts. You also won that game on a night where I'm not going to say that Walters wasn't at his best, but he gave up a run, which he doesn't normally do. Yet your team still found a way to win.
Well, when you look back, that's a big win because that was the series winner. Seeing that we lost on Sunday, thank goodness that we were able to do that. And there were some big plays in that game. Late in the game, they could have had first and second, nobody out, and they sent the runner to third, and we threw him out from right field. So, and, yeah, you're right. I mean, Walt is human. He's not going to be able to close every single game, and he's got to give up a hit or a run at some point. And so the guy was sitting fast. He threw a fastball right in the guy's zone there in the low and in. He kind of golfed it out of there. But that's a big win for us, being able to come back, kind of gather ourselves and win in extra innings and get the big hit from Kafis. And so that ended up being the difference maker. And look, we certainly want to win series. That would leave a really sore spot in everybody if we weren't able to win that game. And then, of course, see what happens after that and lose the series.
Saturday, you scored 17 runs. My dad used to say, save a run or two for the next day. Because on Sunday, you really struggled at the plate.
Wish you could do that, but it doesn't work that way in our sport. And our sport is a little crazy like that, where everything is thrown up there. Our guys are just killing it all over the field. And then today, we couldn't seem to put together too many good at-bats. So baseball can be like that. But credit their pitcher. The pitcher throwing today arguably is their best guy. They actually throw him on Sunday. Their Friday guy and their Sunday guy are by far and away their two best pitchers. And their stats show it, and their record has shown it over the year. And so we knew that we had our hands full with the pitcher throwing today. And that's why you need to have good pitching on your end, and you got to play good defense, and you got to give good at-bats. And just the game got away from us on the Sunday game there. And but again, fortunately for us, we were able to win the first two games.
16-5 inside the conference, so right now in very good shape for a lot of different things. As you mentioned, the toughest part of the schedule probably still to come. You have to go to Georgia Tech on the weekend. They are a power hitting team. They have the nation's leading home run hitter. You go up there, so that's expected to be, I would imagine, a hard fought. It always is with Miami and Georgia Tech for some reason. Hard fought baseball games.
It is. You're absolutely right. My first year, I believe we hit a walk-off on Saturday. We were down game one, and on Saturday we had to hit a walk-off. We were down, and Freddie Zamora hit a walk-off to win the game that took us to get a chance to win the series on Sunday, and we did. You know, we didn't play him during the COVID year, but in last year in 21, I believe it came down to the wire. A few games there, we ended up, I think, blowing them out on Sunday, but we had some close games there where we were able to split 1-1 and win the rubber match on Sunday. So we always seem to battle with them. We haven't been up their ballpark because of COVID. We missed the year going there in 20. They play well in their ballpark. It's an offensive ballpark. The ball carries, especially to right field, right center field. And they have some big, strong guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. So they are offensive. We need to pitch very well and make sure we keep the ball down. And then, of course, we got to do our part offensively as well.
You mentioned two words, COVID and offense. I don't think the effects of COVID in terms of college baseball are over yet. I heard this theory floated out there this past week about college baseball. Now what you have is older hitters taking advantage of younger pitching in college baseball. Therefore, there's been more offense in college baseball. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's guys on rosters now that are 23 years old and been in college for 6 years, and we happen to not be that kind of team. We're not that. Our roster is made up of mostly freshmen and sophomores, first year, second year, and third year guys. We have very, very few 4-year guys I think we only have three or four four-year guys on our team, and we have 2 5-year guys. And the rest of our team is all 1 and 2 and 3-year guys. So we're a young team, which is unusual to this era that you're talking about of older guys. And, yeah, I mean, I would think that that sounds right, that there are a lot more runs being scored, it seems, this year. I haven't looked at all the statistics, but just looking at the scores after each game, there are a lot of high-scoring games and probably do have some veteran hitters that have been playing for a while. I don't know about the pitching being younger. I don't know why they would be younger and not having as older pitchers. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, for us, what we've done and having a younger team has worked for us. You know, certainly happy with that. But yeah, I can see that possibly being the case.
It is interesting you mentioned your team being younger. The team you just played, Pittsburgh, this past weekend, had half a dozen guys or more that are 23 years old, bunch of transfers, but a much, much older team, much older than you normally see in college baseball.
And that's because what we're talking about with the COVID and getting the extra years. And there's been flexibility in the roster size. See, we haven't taken advantage of that because we don't want to have a big roster. I'm not a big believer in big rosters, but the last few years, well, the first year after COVID was unlimited. You could have as many players as you wanted. Some teams were having 50 guys. Now it's at 40. And the majority of teams that I look at that we play have close to, if not 40 players on their team. And so you got a lot more players. You got a lot more leftover COVID guys. So you got older guys on there. But we just went a different route. That wasn't something we wanted to do, nor could we do from a scholarship standpoint, either being a private school. So, but yeah, we're kind of in a unique situation during these few years here with COVID. At some time, it will obviously take its course, and it'll get back to, you know, the normal and the rules, which were basically 35 is the maximum roster you can have, and you know you won't be able to play, you know, as many years. So it'll end up evening itself out.
Pardon my ignorance for this year, but if you face a team that has 35 or 40 players, are they all eligible?
All the guys are eligible. I mean, only ones that, yeah, I mean, all of them are eligible. That's, you have some six. It's hard to keep up.
So during a game, if they have 40 players and they're all eligible for the game,
they're not in conference. Okay. Out of conference, they are. In conference, you're allowed to have 35 players if you're home. You can have 34, which it doesn't come to apply to us in either way. We're 32 roster size, so you're allowed to have 35 players when you play at home. When you travel and go on the road, you're allowed to have 30 players. So we have to, two players have to stay back when we go travel on the road, and that's an ACC rule. So I don't know the rules for every conference, but, and then when you get to the NCAA tournament, it's been always 27 is what you're allowed to take in the NCAA tournament. So there are some roster limitations in certain areas of around the country.
Speaking of roster, your roster during the Pittsburgh series, Levinson had himself a nice series, finished up with a 3-run homer. He had 6 hits in the series, so he showed some a bit of a spark there for you.
Well, he's a guy that we want to see swing the bat with some power. We brought him in to hit the ball in the air and drive the ball and not hit ground balls, and I tease him about that, but not really. I want him to get the ball in the air and backspin the ball, and the ball carries in left field here. He's a right-handed power guy. That's what we recruited him to do, and there's no reason why he's got a lot of power to get the ball up in the air and drive it to left field and hit doubles and home runs and drive guys in. That's what we'd like to see from him. He's got to play good defense. You know, he had an error there he made in the outfield against Pitt on Sunday that, you know, we can't have that happen. That's just a kind of a mental error there. The ball snaked on him, but he should have been fielding that routine. He was trying to field it as a do-or-die play, and it was not a do-or-die play. There was no need to do that. But Zach likes seeing him swing the bat. It's a position that we've been kind of playing with. The DH in right field, we still haven't had the consistency I'd like to have in both those spots, but he certainly has been pretty consistent of late, and that's why he's been in the lineup.
Burke had a home run for you, almost had the – had a chance for the cycle in the Saturday game, had the big throw from right field also in the Friday game. So he continues to play really well for your second leading hitter.
He's been great. You know, he's hitting in a very important spot, 5-hole in our lineup behind Yo-Yo and Max. And so he's had a lot of opportunities, and he's taken advantage of them. He's been one of our most clutch hitters. I'd say probably Kafis is probably hitting the highest batting average with guys in scoring position, but Burke's probably right behind him, and hence both of them have about around the same amount of RBIs, at least going into Sunday's game. But, yeah, Burke's been great. He's like you said, made some great throws in the outfield. He's an athletic kid. He's a tough kid. He plays the game hard. He can run. He's got some pop in his bat. And he's hitting for a good average. So he's been a good all-around player for us and very, very happy to have him. And I wish I always say this, that we had him his freshman year. He came to us as a transfer through the portal. And, I'm praying and hoping he's a guy that I know he's playing well and the scouts like him, but I sure would love to have him back for another year.
Kafis, we'll wrap it up. Kafis has been really good for you. Had the game-winning hit on Friday night, opposite field single. But as a leadoff guy, he's really stacks up the numbers as a leadoff guy. One of the better leadoff hitters you've had in the last couple of years.
More than. Yeah. It's hard for me to think back. I'd have to go back to probably when we went to the World Series in 15 and 16. I think we had Eusebio and Chester and those guys. Didn't hit for the average that Kafis is, but those guys got on base. But Kafis is doing everything. Right. Yeah. He's hitting for average high. His on base is good. He's stolen bases is good. He's probably our most instinctive player on the bases, meaning he gets great jumps, he reads balls in the dirt, plays very good defensive position at first base, which is unusual, first baseman leading off. But that leadoff position is so important to a team and to being a successful offensive team. And we haven't had a very good leadoff guy the last handful of years. That's why I had to go back to really 16 and 15 and 16. That's a long time ago, and that should not be the case. But he's been great for us, and he's just a great all-around player.
Last time we wrap it up with this real fast, I have to mention this because on Saturday you had a reunion here of the 1982 National Championship team. 40 years ago, those guys won the national championship. Both you and I were very young. Those guys look great, showed up here. You try to put that in perspective to people. That was the first championship for University of Miami, first big one. And for the town, for South Florida, it was a Miami Dolphins town. And the Dolphins had gone 10 years in between getting to the Super Bowl or whatever. And here comes the Miami Hurricanes winning a national championship in 1982, of course, with one of the greatest plays in the history of sports. So it was nice to see those guys.
It was. I got a chance to speak to them before the game. And I told them, I thanked them for me as a kid growing up, and I was probably around 13 years old at the time I came to all the games, but they were inspiring to watch. They were fun to watch. Coach Frazier had the atmosphere at this ballpark was just, and it's the same, maybe not quite the same, because we have all the pro sports here, and it's taken away from us a little bit, but it's still a ballpark here. It's just great atmosphere, and it's a family friendly with kids atmosphere, and with the back then John Ruth Maniac and J-Roe still here, and of course we still have the Maniac, and the way those guys played the game, I told them they played with so much passion and energy, and it was just so much fun to watch. It inspired me to want to play for the Canes, and unfortunately my dream came true when they offered me a scholarship to play here, and so I thanked them. There's no way I would be the head coach if I didn't play here at Miami, because Coach Morse told me many a times he's hiring a Miami guy. That's what he wanted to hire, and if I didn't play at Miami, I would not have been hired here. So, and you're right, that championship's not only the, back then before football won in 83, the baseball team won in 82, but it's the first national championship in the big three sports in football, basketball, baseball, in the entire state. All right. And, if you go back and look, Florida and Florida State have won some championships in football since, and of course, basketball, I guess Florida's won a few, but our baseball team's the first to win it, and of course, the football got it going, and so that team sticks out to me and always will. I remember exactly where I was when they won the championship, when the crazy play happened, the grand illusion, and I told them, guys, those guys were my heroes growing up. We didn't have a big league team. Right. They were the big leagues to me. Coach Frazier and Coach Schuler were the icons in this community. They always will be to me, sports figures, as a kid growing up. And I got to spend most of my childhood here with, my dad, spending those quality years being around him because my parents were divorced. So I didn't see my dad a whole lot except at games. Thank God I came from a sports family with a lot of brothers, and we spent a lot of time with our father at games in the Orange Bowl, watching the football team, watching the Dolphins in the Orange Bowl, and watching the Canes at the light. I spent more time at the light than anywhere else, and very, very fortunate. I was so happy to see those guys.
Over 8,000 in the ballpark this weekend for Miami and Pittsburgh. So the atmosphere has returned this year, and the Canes have been great at home all season long. Now 22-5 at home. On the road this weekend against Georgia Tech. Gino, thanks, and the best of luck this weekend.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
That's Gino DeMari. We'll continue on the show right after this.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.